Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Greg Cosell is back with us. Hello, Greg. It's me and Steve up here in Buffalo. Thanks for coming on.
Murph, Steve, how are you guys doing?
We're doing great. Want to let people know that show, NFL matchup with you and who you got? You and Jaws and...
No, me, Matt Bowen, and Sal Powell.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's
I'm trying to
Matt
promote
Bowen.
The thing. Yeah, our buddy Matt Bowen. It's on tomorrow, 8:30 a.m. on ESPN2. Sunday, 4 a.m., 6:30 a.m. on ESPN, NFL matchup. You guys, and you in particular, have looked at the Buffalo Bills, Greg, and you mentioned in the break before we came on with you how impressed you were with what you saw from Josh Allen last week, huh?
Very impressed. And you know what I found very fascinating was their first 18 plays through their first three possessions, guys, were called passes. Very interesting game plan, and I thought Josh was poised, composed. The game was not too fast for him mentally. I like the kinds of throws they asked him to make. They were short throws. They were timing throws. The kinds of throws that we always talked about that he had to do better in order to become a consistent quarterback. I thought for the most part he was pretty accurate, good ball placement. These were throws that demanded pace and touch, and he made these kinds of throws. It was kind of interesting and fun to watch.
What do you make of the four turnovers? I mean, that was the story coming out of the first half of that game, how it all kind of seemed to go away, except they were only down 6 points. What'd you make of the four turnovers?
I mean, the first interception, which was the touchdown by the Jets, was not on Josh, you know, and then the obviously the sack fumble, those things can't happen. Then the bad snap situation, that's a fluky thing. We know it can happen, but that's fluky. And I'm trying to specifically remember the other one now.
The other was a
tip ball.
Yeah, yeah. Tip ball at the line of scrimmage.
You know, that's fluky too. So, I mean, look, it's easy to say they can't happen, and we know they can't, but I don't think they were representative in any way of poor play by Josh Allen.
Hey, Greg, what did you think of kind of the offensive look the Bills showed in that game? They came out there, started the game with kind of I formation personnel, and then just spread everybody out wide. What were they doing, and what did you think of that approach?
Well, it's interesting because all of those first 18 plays that we spoke about a moment ago that started the game all had what we call 21 personnel, two backs and one tight end, and the backs were Singletary and DeMarco. And what they did with that is something we've seen a team like the New England Patriots do for years, where they'll spread the formation. They'll be very multiple with their formations out of two backs and one tight end. And the Bills kind of did the same thing. And I think it's a positive. It was not what I expected to see in the opener for the Bills. I don't know what you guys thought.
Yeah, you're right. We didn't know exactly what we were going to expect, but I think the thing that got us and that I noticed was that they went with a little pace early on, and also they changed formations. Josh would go up under center and then back away, break the formation, and force the defense to talk a lot.
Yes, without question. And you know, the interesting thing about that is that also says that there's a confidence level in Josh, because you got to remember one thing, and you know this, Steve, when you move, the defense moves too.
Right.
So the quarterback has to be aware of all those things. The defense does not stay static when you move your personnel. So they feel, obviously, the coaching staff does, that Josh is comfortable with that. You know, and then they ran a lot of basic concepts, which everybody runs, but they're defined concepts. What we call mesh, where you have the two shallow crossers. Levels concepts against zone, where you have different levels of receivers to attack zone, one underneath, one over the top. You know, the basic concepts that provide relatively defined reads and looks. I actually thought that his third throw of the game was was really good. It was only 9 yards to Brown, but it came on that mesh concept, and they played zone. And what you normally get with mesh is, because mesh is meant for man with those crossers, but they put what's called a sit route right behind that mesh, and that's the throw you make versus zone because it's available. And he read it immediately, and he just hit Brown with a good throw for 9 yards. And, you know, it's little plays like that, the detail plays, that make for great quarterbacking. And Josh made a lot of those kinds of plays in this game, a lot of those throws.
Well, coming into this year, you know, you look back at last year, he led the team in rushing. Yes, on Sunday, it was 10 rushes for 38 yards. What'd you think of that stat line?
Well, I think in an ideal world, as he grows as a quarterback, the rushes decrease because he becomes – quicker with what he sees. He eliminates what's not there and isolates what is there quicker. The good ones do it before the snap, but then you also have to confirm and validate after the snap. So I think the more he plays, the more experience he gets, the more he sees, the more he gets comfortable. In an ideal world, the less he runs. Unless it's by design. There'll always be a few design runs for him, and there were some design runs in this game, obviously.
Well, there were two that I can think of. One was a short yardage where it was 8 yards around the end, the left end, and then another was a quarterback sneak that he got stuffed on right before the turnover. So that if you take those away, you get 7 runs for 30 yards or 8 runs for 30 yards. So that's
one that I remember that was the design where he took the snap and he ran left. It was a designed run. I forget the distance, but, you know, and then like I said, you're going to have a few design runs for him, Steve, because he can run well, obviously. And you do want to take advantage of that depending on game situation, field location, things of that nature. But you certainly don't want him scrambling 9, 10, 12 times a game out of the pocket on called passes.
Yeah, the one run that I forgot about we just saw is a touchdown run. I forgot about it.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Greg Cosell on the line with us, executive producer, analyst on NFL Matchup on ESPN this weekend. I have one more question for you about the Jets game and maybe how it translates into the future. Devin Singletary on the field for 70% of the snaps, but limited carries for him. What do you think the future holds for him, and what did you think of his game against the Jets?
Well, he only had 4 runs with all those snaps because of the way they chose to play, but I like Singletary. You know, his first 2 runs of 20 and 23 yards, they were both eye back runs to the left side of the formation where they pulled Morrison Spain. His 3rd run, if I remember correctly, was what we call same side power. It was out of the gun. And his 4th run was another eye back run. So 3 of his 4 runs, he was the eye back with Allen under center. You know, and I think that you'll see more of him. He's got some juice to him. You see this run right here where he bounced it outside. You see the lateral quickness, the lateral juice. You know, he's got that. He'll definitely be a part of the rotation. How many runs he gets, you know, that will be determined on a week-to-week basis. I'm sure it'll be a function of the opponent as well. But I think he's clearly, look, he was on the field for those first 18 snaps. Yep. As you said, Murphy, played 70% of the snaps. You're not out there unless the coaching staff believes that you can be out there and they trust what you can do. So we'll see more of him with the ball in his hand moving forward.
One other guy I've got to ask you about after the Jets game. We came into this season and the Bills, you know, the quote unquote number one receiver the Bills never had or didn't have. John Brown certainly emerged as at least Josh Allen's favorite target with the catches and 123 yards. What'd you think of John Brown's performance?
Yeah, and John Brown's always been a guy who could run. You know, I think the kinds of throws they'll make to him, I remember the 28-yard crosser late in the first half, which was a great throw by Josh. It was your basic post-cross. He ran away from Johnson. You know, he can run away from people. Obviously, the winning touchdown, I believe it was cover 1, and he was matched up against Darrell Roberts. And you have to feel good about that matchup because Roberts is not a big-time NFL corner. Brown is your guy. It was a kind of a stutter-go or stop-and-go, you know, and they teach quarterbacks, Steve, as you well know, if the defender's back is turned and he can't see the ball, you throw it to that receiver, and that's basically what that play was. And Allen actually turned it loose, threw it a little bit to the inside, but because Darrell Roberts had no idea where the ball was, it was a touchdown.
We're talking with Greg Cosell, senior producer, NFL Films. He crunches tape, breaks down tape, and we got to talk now about the Giants, and we start with Saquon Barkley. Over the year, well, the years, over the year in one game, what have teams done to try to handle Saquon Barkley? What might be the best approach for the Bills to take in this game this week, Greg?
I think they probably go to church on Saturday night.
Yeah, I am. I will. That's for sure.
Yeah. Look, that guy's terrific. You know, we can sit here and debate, and I don't rip coaches. I just don't do that. We can sit here and debate how much he should or shouldn't get the ball. You know, the sense, I think, for a lot of people is that the Giants offense should run through Saquon Barkley. It hasn't really, and it certainly didn't last week in a game that was closer than the score. We know he's special. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. You know, he's one of those backs that can line up as an I back and be a phenomenal runner. You can detach him from the formation. He's an excellent pass receiver. He obviously is phenomenal. Contact balance, can run through people, run after catch ability. There's nothing Saquon Barkley cannot do. I think your game plan starts with Saquon Barkley from a defensive perspective. And when I say that, I know that's a platitudinous statement. I'm thinking more in terms of tactically, how you approach it, you know, getting an extra guy in the box, making sure maybe there's always an unblocked defender based on the Giants' run concepts, things of that nature.
Yeah, and I agree with you. It really does should run through him. And maybe even at this point with the injuries that the Giants have coming into this week, maybe maybe the passing game runs through him as well. Is that possible?
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of injuries at wide receiver, and they weren't, you know, some would argue that the receiving core wasn't top line to begin with, but I mean, Shepard's out. Lattimore, I guess, is questionable. I know you mentioned Slayton being out. He's a rookie from Auburn.
Yep.
You know, they're very thin, so you could easily see them line up with two tight ends a lot in this game, use Barkley as a wild card, move him around, or you know, and I think they're going to come out and run the ball. And, you know, with the premise that, we need to just, if I could quickly, we need to jump to the Giant D, because this is a game where the Giant D has to be a factor. And there's no other way to put it, but they were absolutely terrible last week and at times embarrassing. And it's I don't think they'll be that way for the season. Week one has some of those performances, both positive and negative, where everybody overreacts. But they were, quite honestly, very bad last week.
Yeah, they exhibited a ton of problems in the back end of their defense last week.
Oh, yeah.
Are those problems fixable in one week? I mean, were they physical or were they mental?
I think they were mental.
Yeah.
And I think they're fixable. It just, you know, again, Steve, you know one thing. The coaches coach, players play. So it's going to be coached. The question is, how do the players react on the field on Sunday?
Right.
So we'll see. But those are fixable errors. They were mental errors. Guys not recognizing things, not playing with their eyes. I mean, you're seeing a touchdown right here. Nobody within 7, 8, 9 yards of the receiver. I remember the Randall Cobb touchdown as well. No one was around him. You know, these are fixable things. Because they have to do with eye discipline. They have to do with recognition of formations and splits. These are all coachable things.
So what would the Buffalo Bills offense want to do to attack what seem to be weaknesses in the Cowboys defense? What should they be looking to do this week, Greg?
Well, what the Cowboys did a lot to the Giants, I mean, is they really threw the ball, you know, in some ways more than they ran it. The RPO game was very effective for the Cowboys against the Giants. I think the one thing you want to be careful if you're the Bills is you're playing a defense overall that's not really good. Okay, so to me, and I'm not a coach, but to me, you don't want to step outside of what you think you can do, because you're not playing a defense that theoretically can take away a lot of things. So instead of saying, hey, let's try this week, you stay with your approach. You continue to build on what you do well. You continue to build with Josh Allen with the kinds of throws and play calls that you believe he can do well. And I think that if you do that, you'll have success against this defense.
Yeah, I think at this point you just do what you do and play your game, ask your guys to play what they do well. That is, if you know at this early spot of the season, you have to know your guys, which some teams have a trouble knowing it when the games are for real. None of these teams really know who they are anyway, but if you got some things you're confident in, go with it.
I couldn't agree more. You know, look, every once in a while you play a defense that you have to account for certain things and you must do that. The Giants, to me, are not that defense. So I think the Bills run their offense, work on what they want to work on, keep getting better at what they do.
One more question for you about this game, the Bills game coming up that I have for you, Greg, and that's and it's back to the other side of the ball. Eli Manning, how did he look to you against Dallas, and what should the Bills expect to see from him?
You know, I don't think he looked bad at all. In fact, I was, you know, again, they have so many injuries, but I was kind of impressed with their offense. I mean, I think that there's some things they can get done. Maybe it's not this week because they'll be down so many people, but Eli was not the reason they lost that game. I thought he played solid football. You know, I think he's at the point in his career where he's not the driving force of an offense, and to my way of thinking, shouldn't be asked to be that guy. So we'll see what they do this week with all the injuries, but I would really expect, Murph, that Saquon Barkley, you know, look, unless the Bills run away with the score early, but if this game is close, to me, this has to be a Saquon Barkley game. 25 carries, maybe 7-8 receptions. He would, to me, he has to have over 30 touches in this game.
I would agree with you. One of the things we got to move on to, maybe around the league, one of the most unbelievable stories coming out of New York had to do with the Jets. Sam Darnold is sick. I'll just put it that way. And I'm not going to ask you about any of the stuff and what that means to the Jets. But Trevor Siemian is going to get the start for the Jets. You've seen him play in the past. What do you think about Trevor Siemian?
I think Trevor Siemian is one of those guys you can line up and play with as long as the other parts of your team work effectively. I guess Le'Veon Bell has a shoulder. I guess we don't know if he's going to play. If he can play and is capable of playing pretty much the full game, I think you have to lean on him. I think you have to work the play-action pass game. I think you have to hope your defense can keep the game in hand on Monday night against Cleveland. Siemian, you know, when he was in Denver, there was a stretch there where he played effectively. They ran the ball. They executed the play-action pass game, and he executed and orchestrated the offense. That's what he is. Is he a high-level talent? No. But if the pieces are not working, Steve, then he's not the guy that's necessarily going to make the big-time throws that allow you to win the game.
Okay, so if that's Trevor Siemian, who is Gardner Minshew, the guy taking over for Nick Foles in Jacksonville?
Well, I think we should probably put on our Gardner Minshew mustaches before we talk about him.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny. I watched him coming out of Washington State quite a bit, and he's under 6'1". He's not physically imposing, so he doesn't look the part. And he was in the air raid offense, which a lot of people dismiss. But he played with a great sense of pace, touch, timing, very accurate thrower, knew where to go with the ball. He exhibited those same traits last week. Now, the elevated completion percentage you have to be careful with, because as the game progressed, Steve Spagnuolo, the DC for the Chiefs, went to a lot of prevent, and he threw a lot of checkdowns, and that elevated the completion percentage. But up to that point, he looked exactly like he looked at Washington State. Now, they're going to go into Houston. Houston has a good D-line, good front seven, a lot of pass rush concepts. We'll see when he plays from play one how all that works out. He'll clearly be under more pressure in this game than he was against the Chiefs.
Should one more question I got about another team is Ben Roethlisberger and the Pittsburgh Steelers going in and getting thumped in New England. Are the Pittsburgh Steelers okay?
I think they have some things, Steve, to work out. They couldn't run the ball, and I think that hurt them. And I think after Juju Smith-Schuster, they're not certain yet what their wide receiver situation is. I mean, they have James Washington and Dante Moncrief, but I don't think they know yet what those guys are in the context of their offense. And when you just have one receiver like that, it's tough. So I think they're one of those teams that early in the season, they have some things that they need to get worked out, and we don't know how that'll play out just yet.
Hey, Greg, I'm sure you guys will talk about it on your show, the NFC Championship game rematch out in Los Angeles, 4:25 on Sunday, the Saints and the Rams. And a lot of the attention has been focused on the Nickell Robey-Coleman play, but this game is much more than that, isn't it? That was a really good competitive game last year. These might be the two best teams in the NFC at least, right?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, this is a very tactical game. I mean, when you play against the Rams offense, and by the way, the Rams offense in the last two meaningful games, teams have figured some things out, and I think it's going to be up to Sean McVay to kind of, you know, see where he goes. But the two things you know you're going to get when you face the Rams offense, you're going to get tempo. They selectively play with tempo where they just get up on the ball. They may not snap it right away, but they'll get right up on the ball. And the other thing they do a ton of is that jet sweep action, and you have to figure out how you want to deal with that so guys don't get out of position. So those are two things. On the other side, I think when I watch tape, what really is a problem for defenses is the Saints tend to line up Alvin Kamara and Michael Thomas on the same side of the formation, to the boundary side, the short side of the field, and that's a tough deal for defenses.
All right, one thing. Well, one last team I want to ask you about. They're coming up on the Bills' schedule in a couple of weeks, and I thought it was a really surprising outcome in Seattle when Cincinnati went
there.
They gave Seattle all they could handle week one of the season on the road. That outcome surprised me. I know the Cincinnati Bengals lost, but they lost by 1 point against a Seattle Seahawks team that's got some pretty high expectations.
I thought their offense, and I watched that tape, their offense, Steve, looked really good. I mean, Zach Taylor's the head coach there. He came from the Rams. There were a lot of those Ram principles. To me, Andy Dalton fits that style of offense. It's a timing rhythm offense, define the reads, define the throws, get the ball out, let the quarterback stay in a rhythm. That's what Dalton is to me. Now, he's not as physically imposing or as smooth a thrower as Jared Goff, but in some ways he's stylistically similar. And I think this offense fits him. And he's kind of been, you know, thrown in the dustbin a little bit, you know, relegated there because of the last couple of years. But, you know, what was it, 3-4 years ago? He was on his way to being league MVP when he got hurt. You know, Andy Dalton is a capable NFL quarterback, and I think this is the style of offense that fits him. And, hey, when you guys play him, maybe A.J. Green's back too, so who knows?
We'll talk a lot more about Dalton and the Bengals and A.J. Green next week. Greg, thanks for this. Great to catch up with you again this Friday. We'll talk again next Friday.
All right, guys, really appreciate it. Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thanks, Greg.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.